When was the last time that you broke out in song? Just spontaneously. A song of joy. You might break out sometimes in songs of lament, but why did you break out in a song of praise? What made you sing in that way? I imagine that unless we are perhaps in a choir or something where it just happens to be the next song that we're singing, that most of us sing joyful songs because we have joyful hearts. Something has come to our remembrance, something has happened to us, and it makes us sing out. We sing praises because we've got someone or something that is worth praising. And that's exactly what is happening with David in Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And last Sunday morning, we saw this song of praise bursting out of David's soul and just touched on some of the things, the greatness and the goodness of God that made him sing in this way. But doing that leaves us somewhat incomplete, because although we can see that it is God whom David praises, and though we picked up some of the notes of praise from the balance of the psalm, we need to really understand why David sings in the way that he does. If he's going to sing such high and sweet and pure notes, it's good for us to enter in to that song. And David doesn't simply say that he sings, he explains why he sings. And he invites you to join him in the song. The next few verses begin to explain David's song of praise. It is a personal testimony of the good that he himself has received. It is David's own experience. And there's an I and a me, as well as a you and an us in this psalm as it proceeds. David is not ashamed to say, "This is what God has done for me." And as we saw, at least hinted last week, and we'll see again this morning, there's no pride at all in that. There's no arrogance when he says, "This is how God has blessed me," because he's testifying of the depth of his need and to the praise of God. And as he speaks of himself, so he reminds us of what is true for others who are in his position, and he invites others to join with him in tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. So David is at once an example and a representative and a teacher to us. He's an example for us. He is a man like us, and he's a teacher instructing us. The next few verses help us to see in this opening hymnic burst of this psalm why and how men and women like us can boast of God, exalt the Lord, and magnify his name continually because of the greatness and the goodness that he has shown toward us. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. What you've got here is a crying man and a hearing God and a delivering angel and a radiant face. This reason for praise begins with a crying man. And you might think instinctively that that is a spectacularly bad place to start a song of praise. A crying man is rarely something that would incite you to praise. But you have to remember where David begins and why he begins there. This is the crying out of a man who is making his humble boast in the Lord. And in order that God may be exalted, David is going to be honest to the point of brutality about the situation in which he found himself when he cried out to the Lord. He talks about what he is and explains then what he does. He is, according to these verses, poor, troubled, and afraid. Poor here means afflicted or needy. David is a man trampled down. He is troubled. He is a man who is in deep distress and facing extreme pressure. He's not so much been painted into a corner as beaten into one. And he is afraid. And the fear that is described here is a fear of two kinds. When he says that the Lord delivered him from all his fears, he's talking about terrors. And those terrors are the kinds of terrors that are often associated with the judgments of God upon a man. And that's what David is. That's where he begins. That's his starting point in this song of praise. I am a poor man. I am in deep need. I am a troubled man. I am in sore affliction. And I am a fearful man. I am terrified of things. David is utterly defenseless and his resources have been depleted. He had nothing left to give when he cried out. He was helpless. He was homeless. He was friendless. He was driven away from his home. He was separated from Jonathan and many others. He was in the hands of his enemies among the Philistines. He was at the lowest ebb. He had come to the end of his tether. Sometimes we use that language a little bit too quickly and a little bit too carelessly. But perhaps you know what it is to reach the point of collapse. You know what it is to feel that you can go no further, that you've got nothing left to give. How do you perceive David usually? If I ask you, tell me about King David, where might you go? I imagine even you boys and girls might very quickly, oh, Goliath. David, the man who brought down Goliath. Or David, the great warrior. David, the mighty poet. David, the glorious king. David, the great model for monarchy, whose reign was such that for generations afterward, the idea of a son of David sitting upon the throne would bring people to a state of hopeful expectation. Well, this is David as he knows himself to be. This is David, the needy wretch. This is David, the man who has no friend in the world. And it's good for us to remember what David is like in a world that is full of self-reliant heroes and so-called superheroes. What is the message of this world when you get in trouble? What gets dinned into you in every Hollywood film and every Netflix offering? That when the chips are really down, yes, you may be flawed in some way, but you can dig deep and find yourself. And then you'll be okay when you rediscover just what inner strength you have. David has followed the advice of the modern hymn very effectively. He searched for the hero inside himself. Unfortunately, he found absolutely nothing there. When David reached for something to help himself with, he decided to act like a madman in the hope that they'd think he was a nut job and send him away. And now he's living in a cave. Pursued by Saul, hated by the Philistines, this is the Lord's anointed. Have you ever got to the point where you're ready to acknowledge yourself as poor and troubled and afraid? Reach the end of your tether. Nothing left to give. Your reserves exhausted. We love to be the great warriors. We love to be the strong men and women who search and find the hero inside ourselves, but there isn't one. There's a weak, troubled, poor man or woman. And so David sought the Lord. David looked to God. David cried out. David feared the Lord. when David acknowledged, and I'm not suggesting that David was slow in some senses to do this, but when David reached the point where there was nothing left for him but his own poverty and trouble and fear, this was his response. He turned to the God of salvation. He turned from himself. And even in the depths of his devices to deliver himself, now he confesses that it is God who has spared him, God who has helped him. It's the language of reliance. It's the language of expectancy. He cried to God. He sought the Lord. Crying out doesn't sound particularly impressive or eloquent, does it? This isn't a man who's necessarily sitting there and working out in great rolling sentences how he's going to approach God in such a way as to impress him and derive from him the things that he needs. This is the kind of crying out that you do when you fall. This is the kind of crying out that you do when you're in trouble. This is the shout of need, sometimes without even words, that bubbles out of the soul that is confused but desperate, earnest, fervent. It's a cry for help in the midst of distress. How does a man, a woman, a boy or a girl look to God? How do you seek him who dwells in light, unapproachable and full of glory? Unless God makes himself available, we cannot reach him. And you and I still look to God in Christ Jesus just as much as David did. The God who saves, the God who delivers. How will you come to God apart from Christ? How will you approach the Holy One? It is because he is the Lord. It is because he is his people's God. It's because of his mercy and his kindness that the poor man can cry out to him. Where do you look for him if not in Christ and him crucified? Where does he show himself willing and ready to bless if not through his beloved Son? And some of us have turned to him over and over and over again and have found him always willing and ready to hear us. We have sought the Lord because we've had no one else to whom we can go. We have cried out to God because of our desperate state and condition. And perhaps the first time we ever really did so, it was because we felt our sin. Because we knew ourselves to be worthy of God's condemnation. Because we knew that we had no hope unless God gave it to us. Because we understood that we were liable to the judgments of hell on account of our transgressions. And I know that some of you are in that state this morning, and you need to cry out to God today that he would have mercy upon you. And sometimes God, because of his mercy, has brought us to the point where we know that there's no one else who can help us. Some of us are stupid enough and proud enough to keep imagining that we can deliver ourselves. And if the Lord allowed us to stay in that state, we might walk away from our latest trouble and say, well, at least I got myself out of that one. The good old hero inside myself managed to save the day once more. Sin means there is no hero. Transgression means there is no saviour inside. You need deliverance because you cannot make it and work it for yourself. You have not the wisdom, you have not the strength. You need grace, free favour, mercy. Something undeserved and granted to you. So why, Christian, why are you and I still so slow to call upon the Lord? Hindsight is a wonderful thing. When David was among the Philistines, he acted the fool, quite literally. Now he looks back and he says, "It was the Lord who delivered me. I cried out to him and he saved me out of all my troubles." Why is prayer for you a last resort? Why do you first of all try and adapt your life and change your schedule Why do you first of all try and rearrange things so that you've got more energy, more ability? Why do you first of all come up with your schemes to make things good and right? Why do we not more often and more readily cry out to God as poor, troubled, fearful souls? This is where a real song of praise begins, brothers and sisters, with a poor, troubled, fearful man who cries to the Lord, who seeks his face, who looks to God, and who fears him in a righteous sense. The second thing that you need to see here is the hearing God. This is the one to whom the crying man cries out. I sought the Lord and he heard me, verse 4. This poor man cried out, verse 6, and the Lord heard. David says it twice. He wants you to understand that God's ear was open to his cry. That this God is not like the idols of the world who have ears but cannot hear. And implied in this language is an answer. This isn't just somebody who's aware that something is being said. This is somebody who is processing and responding to the cry for help. This is the father who's dealing with his children as one who is ready to bless them. This is the same sort of language that our Lord might have used when he was talking to his disciples and saying, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things, the Holy Spirit, to those who call upon him? And this is perhaps just the sweetest truth to a man or a woman who's crying out to God. He hears you. He's listening. And he is responding to you. His ear is not deaf that it cannot hear. He is open to the cry of his needy people. Have you ever been in trouble, even physically, and there was no one there to help? You were caught in the waves. You fell down somewhere and you couldn't get up. You were lost so far that no one was around. And you cried out. And no one could hear. That's desperation. That's awful. That's despair. David was never in that condition. Even far from home. Even cut off from beloved friends, even in the midst of enemies, there was a God who heard when David cried. And that hearing God is also the saving God. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. The Lord brought David out of his fears and his troubles. He delivered him entirely from his fears. He brought him out from all his distresses. There seems to be a combination of things here. On the one hand, there's a settled soul. And on the other hand, there's a delivered man. The first thing that the Lord does for David is to take away his fears. God has heard him. And now the things that so terrified him are no longer front and center. His perspective has now shifted. It is no longer fear that dominates his heart. It is no longer fear that drives his thinking, because he knows that God is there and that God has heard. And not only does the Lord deliver him from his fears, but he also delivers him from the troubles themselves. There's nothing that God cannot do to help his people. Not only is his ear open, not deaf so that it cannot hear, but neither is his arm short that it cannot save. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you're calling upon a God who can help you even in your deepest need. With God, to hear is to save. Is that not a wonderful thought, my friends? That when you call upon the Lord, there is an ear that is joined to a hand, which are united in a heart that is ready to bless you. That to cry to God and to be heard by Him is as good as to be delivered in that moment. What is prayer to you? For some people, prayer is just a rehearsed mumbo jumbo. For some, prayer is a mere form of words. For some, prayer is just a psychological discharge. Did you pray? Did it make you feel better? No, I said a few words and I felt as wretched and miserable as I did before. Now ask again, did you call upon God? Did you speak to the Lord of heaven and earth? And were you heard by Him? That is prayer. I don't believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of God, a God who hears prayer. And that is the testimony of those who have prayed by the help of the Holy Spirit. Salvation has come to us over and over again. God has delivered us from our sins. God has brought us up out of the pit. We have no longer any fear of hell. Our transgressions have been put away. We can face the world without fear. We can speak to people who before would have terrified us. We can go into situations where our hearts may be quaking, but in the fear of the Lord, the fear of man is driven away. We say things we'd never have dreamed we could say. We stand fast where before we would have fallen. We obtain blessings that we cannot have concocted for ourselves. Why? Because we cried out and the Lord heard us and delivered us. In our poverty, in our misery, in our fearfulness, we called upon the name of the Lord. And by whatever means He chose, according to His greatness and His goodness, this God, our God, answered us in the hour of need. And if you are a Christian, you have then a reason to exalt the Lord. And if you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, then you have not just one song with one note, but a long song of varied chords in which you can testify that God Himself has proved your God and has shown His mercy to you in time of need. That sometimes even when the troubles have remained, the fears have been removed. Some of us have been spared from death. God has delivered us, and we have praised Him. And some are enabled to face death without fear, and we have praised Him. We testify of His ongoing goodness and mercy. A crying man calls upon a hearing God and enjoys the ministry of a delivering angel. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. What's going on here? You've got the Lord. You sought Him and were heard and delivered. And now you've got the angel of the Lord. And He is camping all around those who fear Him and delivers them. The Lord and His angel are acting in precisely the same way. They are performing the same work. They are at once the same and yet distinguished. Here David seems to be focusing God's saving acts. Here is the language of covenant security. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. First then, who is this person? We find him, for example, in Exodus chapter 23 and verses 20 to 23. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you in to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Or perhaps you remember how this same angel appeared to Joshua as Joshua was going into the land of promise. Joshua saw a man with a sword drawn in his hand and asked him, chapter 5 and verse 13, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped him and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? The angel of the Lord is the immediate presence of God. The angel of the Lord, I truly believe, is the Son of God pre-incarnate. Not just an angel, but God's messenger, God's servant, who comes as the commander of the armies of the Lord of hosts, who receives worship, who responds as God to the cries of his people. Where is this angel of the Lord? He is camped all around. He is not just with his people, but he is all about his people. He is their defense. In Genesis chapter 32, when Jacob saw the angels of God all about him, he called the name of the place Mahanaim, which means two camps. Who was camping there that night? Jacob and an angel host. Or Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And here is the commander of the hosts of heaven. And he is camped about those who fear him. The people are the God-fearing ones. Men and women who, like David, are characterized by an awed reverence of the Holy One. Those who are calling upon the Lord. Those who are trusting in the Lord. And why is he there? This person in this place with these people. For what purpose has he come? The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. He brings them out of trouble by his mighty hand. You understand that when the psalmists say things like the Lord of hosts is with us, the Lord of hosts is on our side, that this is part of what they testify. That God indeed is with his people. My friends, how much more can those who know Christ in all the light of the new covenant say, we have a God who will never leave us or forsake us. What were some of the last assurances that the Saviour of sinners gave before he ascended into heaven with his arms outstretched to bless? Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Who did he send? He sent his Spirit to be with us. What are his angels now? Still all that they were, ministering spirits who go at his command to accomplish all his purposes. You might look around you and you might say, boy, are we in trouble. Especially on a Sunday like this when so many of our members and our friends aren't able to be here. We say, there's so few of us. And you might say, we've got so few resources. And we've got such little strength. I mean, here we are, poor people who cry out. Those who are in trouble and distress. We've got so many things to be afraid of. And you look around and you see the darkness seeming to grow. You see wickedness on every hand. Now look again with eyes of faith. Look like the servant of Elisha looked in Dothan as it's described in 2 Kings in chapter 6. Do you remember that history? A great Syrian army had chased Elisha down. Hordes of enemy soldiers all about. And Elisha was entirely at peace, and his servant was not. His servant was profoundly agitated. And what did Elisha pray? That the God of heaven would open the eyes of his servant. And the servant looked out with eyes of faith. And he saw that the hills around that city were stacked with the battalions of heaven. And all of a sudden, the Syrian host didn't seem quite so fearful as it was before. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Christian, you and I need to learn to look about us with eyes of faith and to remember that the angel of the Lord is camped about us. It's a rare thing, I think, to have some particular sense of that. But when you're in trouble, and when you're in pain, when you're in grief, when you're at risk, and when you have nowhere else to go and no one else to help, look with eyes of faith, because the commander of the armies of the Lord is still on your side. And the hosts of heaven are still at his command to encamp all about you and to deliver you in your time of need, to bring you through that season of fear, and if he wills, to bring you out of your trouble entirely, in order that you, being kept, may sing praise to his name. And that brings us to the radiant face. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Here is the experience of deliverance. This is what it's like to be saved by God. And you notice how David, as he speaks here and elsewhere in the psalm, this is where he is both representative and example, as well as teacher. He's saying that my experience is not isolated, that others know this too, and others may know this also. It's not just David. Others have feared. Others have been poor. Others have been distressed. Others have sought the Lord and been heard. Others have cried out and been answered. Others who feared the Lord have known the blessing of the angel of God encamping all around their habitation. And what happens when God delivers you? They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Sometimes say, don't you, someone's face lit up. When was the last time you saw someone's face light up? In the best and healthiest and happiest sense, as opposed to that's not a good situation to be in with your face on fire or something like that. This language is used in Isaiah chapter 60. It's the kind of expression that a mother has when she finds her lost child. Kids, you ever seen that on mum's face? You're in the shop, at the mall, in the town, walking somewhere, and mum lost you. And then she found you. What does her face do? That joyful relief that lights up a mother's face because she's seen her child restored to her. A face that is radiant, a face that shines with joy and relief, a face that brightens up. I don't think there's much that I would want more for any person in this building, in this community, than to see your face brightened because of God's deliverance. First of all, in salvation, and then again to be the bright-faced Christian who is able to testify of how God has helped. I still remember almost like a photo in my mind. The first person that I know of who was converted under my ministry in a more direct and immediate way. Somebody who was sitting in this very room. Somebody who was angry and resentful. Somebody who used to sit there with hair pulled over their face, squinting and trying by all means not to make eye contact with the preacher. Somebody who didn't want to be here. And then on one particular morning, seemed to be even more grief and distress and antagonism than usual. There was an inner turmoil going on. And the next time I saw that person's face, it was radiant. God had been at work in the heart. And in place of the twisted face and the hunched shoulders and the coverings over the face, there was someone who sat there with their shoulders back and their face up and a smile of peace and joy and relief. I want to see that face. I want you to know the joy of sins forgiven. I want you to know the joyful relief of obtaining peace with God. And I want to see it too, not just in that first moment, but again and again as Christians we go through some of the struggles and the trials of life in this world. They do come. There will be moments, perhaps even seasons, where we are feeling our poverty, our trouble, and our fear. And on the other side of it, there is a shining face. Not ashamed. A face that is no longer marked by the lines of dismay and despair. A child of God who has not been let down by the God whom they serve. A child of God who has not been disappointed by the way that God has dealt with them in their hour of need. A child of God whose face is marked perpetually and sometimes particularly by the joy and the hope of someone who sought the Lord and was heard and was delivered from all their fears, who cried out as a poor man to God, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The face of someone who knows that the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. A face a little bit like Moses when he was up in the presence of God on the mountain and came down with his face shining. A face a little bit like that of Stephen when he was about to make the defense of the gospel that would kill him in the presence of the Sanhedrin. Because when they looked to him, they saw a man with a face like an angel. The kind of spiritual reality that characterized the Corinthians, who, seeing the knowledge, the glory of the knowledge of God as it shone in the face of Jesus Christ, themselves were transformed from glory to glory as they came into sweet contact and holy communion with their God. The kind of reality that Aaron was seeking when he called out to the Lord as the people of Israel moved on, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. The brightened face is a reflective face. It's the face of a man, a woman, a boy or girl upon whom God has smiled and who smiles back. It's the face of a poor, needy, wretched sinner who has received deliverance from God. It's the face of a child of God who's cried out to their Father in heaven in the hour of need and has found it proved again that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. Some of you need this God to save you this morning. Cry out, and he will deliver you. Call upon the Lord, and he will save you. He will save you from your sin. He will save you from the hell that you deserve. He will save you from your distance from him. He will draw you near. He will make his face to shine upon you, and you will be saved. And you may be here as a Christian this morning who says, I am afraid. I am troubled. I am poor. My friends, what have you tried so far? What schemes and endeavors in order to deal with those things that you face? I hope that you have at least done this as well. Perhaps you need to do this now. Perhaps you need to do this first. Perhaps you need to do this more, to cry out to your God, to call upon the name of the Lord. Do you believe that God can do this? Not the power of prayer, not the exercise of you speaking, but the reality of God hearing. A God who can save and who can go on saving, who can make your face shine so that you are not now or ever ashamed that you called upon the name of this God and you found him to be your God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Why, David? How can we do that with you? Well, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. So magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen.